We come to the part of the sermon of Jesus and the Sermon on the Mount. And there could be some confusion because Jesus says, don't swear at all. He speaks about people who had violated the Old Testament law regarding vows and therefore profane God. But I want us to start with, when you go through and filter through those verses, you come to verse 37. This is why the Lord wants us to end up today. This is what I should leave about my speech, my words. First of all, I need to take it seriously. We think about our words are not very important. Maybe our deeds, maybe, but not our words. Words are very important with God. We're going to give an answer for every idle word that we have spoken. We better get ready for it. Was it fruitful? Was it encouraging? Was it the way God would have us to be? Was it truthful? Which is a big point today. Let your speech be yea, yea, or nay, nay. And whatsoever is more than these is of the evil one. We're going to see what was more of these in our lesson. We're going to observe that it is part of what has been started in Matthew 5 and verse 20, when Jesus says, except your righteousness exceed that righteousness of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, you shall not even enter the kingdom of heaven. So if we enter the rule of God, how does he want us as citizens to act here upon earth? We won't make it to heaven, kingdom of heaven, that's true, but there's the kingdom here that Jesus set up. And what Jesus is saying, here are the characteristics of my kingdom and what you've heard from the scribes and the Pharisees, and they have a sense of righteousness about it, is not right. It's not right. Just let your speech be yea, let it be nay. We're looking beyond the oaths. Jesus said, don't swear at all. We're going to look at that a little deeper. But this is where we end up. Your word should be your bond. I don't have to stack it on three Bibles. I'm telling the truth. Your word is your bond. Does that mean that we cannot say oaths? You're not going to find out in this lesson. You're going to find out in the New Testament where that happens. But what the point is, this is where I dig down. This is where the Pharisees and Sadducees missed it. And here was their, you're using the law of God on oaths, and that what they're doing, they're trying to find loopholes. And I want to show you in this lesson, there's no loopholes in speaking the truth. You don't find a way to get around speaking the truth. Let it be yea or let it be nay. There's no loopholes. And what the scribes and the Pharisees have done, they have found loopholes in the law. And Jesus is addressing that. He's condemning that. But this is where we end up. My word is going to be truthful. And I don't have to have the oaths in order to verify my truthfulness. Let's begin where he says, and he brings this together. You've heard it said of old time, and he's been saying this in each of these sections, and we've been speaking on each one of them in a separate sermon. But it started with the, what is the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, and what does it mean, idea of hating one another and killing one another and committing adultery. He's dealt with all those things that were brought forth by the law. But here he begins to talk about in terms of putting together all of what God has said on the subject. He does not quote here a specific passage from the old law. He doesn't do it. You won't find it. But what he does, he combines those thoughts together into this statement. You've heard it was said of old time to those older Testament people, beginning with Moses and the law, and the teachers since then, thou shalt not forswear thyself. It means you shall not lie. You shall not tell the untruth. You shall not forswear thyself, but shall perform unto the Lord thine oaths. So here, you don't forswear yourself, and you perform that what is being said. And how was that said in the Old Testament? Well, let's look at a couple of passages. Exodus 20 and verse 7, take not the name of Jehovah in vain. He speaks here. And I'm not going to take the Lord's name in vain, therefore I'm not going to cuss. I'm not going to curse. I'm going to say bad words. Well, that would be a principle that would be applied here, because vanity being vain. We just saying God's name, and because we just hit our, you know, we hit our thumb with a nail hammer, and it, and we heard, and we just brought out his name. We don't really have any depth to that. We're swearing, and all those different words that, that can be used is empty. Well, that's profaning God. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. And so we read here in this third commandment, we're in a relationship with the Lord, thou shalt not take the name of Jehovah God in vain, for Jehovah will not hold him guiltless if they taketh his name in vain. But Jesus ties this with oaths, not your cursing on the job. He ties it with your oaths. And we, well, that's tied, that's swearing, swearing in relationship to oaths. And so we begin to see another passage that might tie the two together. Leviticus, the 19th chapter, and verse 12. Leviticus 19 and verse 12, where we begin to realize how profaning God's name is in connection with the oaths that are being said. Verse 12 says, thou shalt not swear by my name falsely and profane the name of thy God. I am Jehovah. So here I'm profaning the name of God, not by my curse words, but by making an oath, and I don't live up to my promise. So I swear falsely. I say I'm going to do something, and I do not do it. And now I call God's name as my witness that I will do it, and I don't do it. I am profaning his name. I have spoken falsely in my oaths. And I may never say one bad curse word. This is what he's talking about, the oaths. Cursing is a principle connected with it. But here is the dealing with oaths. That was the problem here among the Jews. And they were been teaching this, that you've heard it was said, thou shalt not do it. But they had loopholes. That's what they had. And here was their problem. Let's go to Matthew 23, verses 16 through 22. Because Jesus will tie this in with Jesus' statement in Matthew 5. But this is where he's driving at. This is what he's having to deal with. And it was the scribes and the Pharisees. He calls them in verse 16, blind guides. See, they're teaching others. They're teaching others that you can find these loopholes in your oaths. It'll be okay. You're blind guides. Whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. So let's just put that. You're swearing by things. This is the problem. And not fulfilling your vows. And you're doing so with impunity. There's no consequence here. You can get by with it. So what are they saying? Well, swearing by the temple. If you do that, you don't have to fulfill that one. But if you swear by the gold of the temple, you are a debtor. You've got to fulfill that vow. Now, we never saw that in the Old Testament. We saw the idea of connecting our oaths with profaning God's name because we don't keep it, our promise. But here's what Jesus was dealing with. Not only that, they said, you can swear by the altar, but that's nothing. You don't have to pay that debt. There's the altar. You swear by the altar. But if you swear by the gift on the altar, pay that sacrifice on the altar, you are a debtor. That's what was being taught. Jesus is addressing that. And here's the understanding that Jesus wants to have. He says, if you swear by heaven, it includes the throne and God sitting on the throne. And he says, this is the point that he's making here. If you do that by heaven, I'm going to swear by heaven, just like I swear by the temple. Well, what does that mean? It includes the throne. That's where his throne is. It also includes God that's sitting on the throne. You don't escape God with your self-imposed or self-generated loophole. And that's what they were doing. They were swearing by the temple. And they don't have to do it. They swear by the altar. They don't have to do anything. And that's why we see in verse 21, and he that swears by heaven, he swears by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon. Jesus is talking directly to the scribes and Pharisees. You blind guides, you are hypocrites. And this is what they were teaching. This is what has to exceed the righteousness of the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, or we're not going to be God's citizens in his kingdom. Here or later. That's not my people. And what Jesus has said, here's the understanding. You swear by one, you swear by all things that are connected with God. Isn't that what Jesus is doing? Doesn't he start with heaven? He does in our text. But it's in the context, swear not at all. Swear not at all. And we come back to Matthew 5. Don't swear at all. Then he begins to insert what our problem is that we know that we're doing. You're not to swear by heaven, neither by heaven or because it is indeed the throne of God. You cannot escape the reality of who is on it. You just said heaven, but you don't have a way, like you say, temple, and I don't have to talk about whose temple it belongs to, or the altar, the sacrifice unto God, you do, but not the altar itself. That's all tied with tied in with God. He says, indeed, swear not at all, and then he's emphasizing what swearing he's talking about. Neither by heaven, because that's the throne of God, nor by earth. It's the footstool of God. He's creator of all things. Footstool is earth, his creation. Nor by Jerusalem, because that's the city of the great king. Heaven, earth, and a city. He just goes from big and the middle part in Jerusalem. And it's the smallest part. And you can't disconnect those from God. Oh, if I swore for God, I've got to complete that one. And all God has said, you don't profane my oaths, you fulfill them. Otherwise, you're profaning my name. That's what he taught in his law. But Jesus is not here to set up the way the law should be. He said, but I say to you, Jesus is not establishing the Old Testament law and said, you got it wrong back here. Let's get it right. And this is the law that we Christians are under? No. I say to you, I'm saying this is the teaching that's coming from me, the authority of Jesus Christ. And this is how the citizens are to be in his kingdom. This law was taken out of the way, even with all of its perversions, and Jesus is addressing the perversion. And we're now under a whole different gospel. It's by our faith and not by our works. But faith has works, works of obedience. But this is the point. He said, this is what I'm addressing the problem. And this is the type of swearing that we don't want to have to take place. Nor by thy head. Swear by the hairs on my chinny chin chin. I swear by the hairs on my head. They're few, but they're important. And I'm telling you the truth. Nor by thy head. You cannot make one hair white or black. Really? Really? Well, hair, we can dye it, can't we? What's the problem with that? Thank you. Is that you're hiding reality. I'm not saying it's wrong. You're hiding reality. You know what's beneath it. You can't make that change. That's the point. God is your creator, is the point that he's making. He's made us brunettes, blondes, and so forth, and all those things that we were created with our structure. And he said, you cannot make one hair white or black. What does he mean by that? I can dye it. Because God is the creator of your head. God created you, hair and all. You don't escape God just because you take something that's important to you in order to enforce that you're telling the truth when you're really lying, because you don't have to be a debtor to this one. You cannot make one hair change because we're still dealing with our Creator. So let's see. Swear not at all, but let's just start back. What was the purpose of oaths? God took an oath. Still, it's not inherently sinful. Come with me to Hebrews, the 6th chapter. And let's just see if we can find out, why did God have to make an oath? Why did he do that? And we pick up in chapter 6 and verse 13, "For when God made promise to Abraham, since he could swear by none greater, he swore by himself, saying, Surely I will bless thee, and multiply, I will multiply thee." That's Genesis 22, number 16. I swear by myself. There's nobody higher. I'm swearing by myself. This is my blessing. Why did he do that? Well, we kind of continue. "Thus, having patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men swear by the greater. In every dispute of theirs, the oath is final for confirmation." That's the purpose of oaths. Here's my word, but I'm telling God as my witness that what I am promising is true. Why? So that can confirm our deal that we've made, my promise to you. And it was there to establish our faith. God gave an oath to Abraham. Notice how we come, how lying involved. God doesn't lie. That's right. So what about this oath and thing? For verse 17, "Wherein God being minded to show more abundantly unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, interposed with an oath." He doesn't change what he says he'll do. Why bring the oath? To confirmation in the heart of the believer. "That by two immutable things in which is impossible for God to lie." What are they? His promises and his oaths. He can't lie, period. But in this context, his promises, he can't lie about it. He didn't need an oath. But that was to further confirm the truth that he's stating forth. "I swear by myself that I will bless you. That two immutable things which is impossible for God to lie, that he may have, that we may have strong encouragement who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us." If you're thinking that hope is just out there, it's in the gray area, not really sure about that, think again. He raised Jesus from the grave on the third day unto a living hope in you and me. It's a living hope. It's lively. He says, well, he did good, a lot of good deeds. He's kind of a good rabbi. You know, he resurrected him. That was his eternal plan. And in order to do that, so we can have a lively hope that our place in heaven is assured us. Why did God use an oath to make that statement to Abraham? And now he applies it to us as we come on the heirs of Abraham, walking by faith as he did and so forth. We become heirs of the blessings. Why did he do that? So I want you to confirm to you, this hope is real. This hope is real. And you can't appeal to any higher power for confirmation than God. God himself has assured us that indeed when we unite ourselves in his death and resurrection and baptism, we're walking a new life. We have a lively hope that is sure out there. Now we have to remain faithful. But the point is, from his standpoint, he promises that you don't have to worry about, is it real or not? Is it sure or not? Is it something I can achieve or not? He did that for every one of us. Jesus is our hope. What we see in Hebrews 6 and verse 18 is that it just confirms that. Swear not at all. We don't like oaths. God likes it. God likes it. Jesus reacted to it in a way that you might not think. He didn't stand up and say, I'm not to swear at all. The high priest called him in Matthew the 26th chapter and put him under an oath. You don't put me under oath. I've just told people to swear at all. No, he didn't say that. He didn't act that way. He responded with truth as one is under oath. And in Matthew 26 and verse 63, when I adjure you, the high priest says, I charge you, I put you under an oath. I adjure you. Or he says, what is this that they witness against thee? And he's wanting to know, are you the Christ? But Jesus held his peace. He didn't speak. And then the priest went up that step. I adjure you, you're not talking for your behalf. I adjure you, I put you under an oath that thee by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Some translations have Jesus talking now. All of them have been talking. But some say, thou hast said. Like I said, well, you say it, but maybe not me. No. It is as you said, is the idea. And your translations bring that out. It is as you said. I am the Christ. But that was an oath. You don't respond to oaths. Yeah, I do. Jesus does. He did. And the point is, yes, he's the one that says, swear not at all. But when he was placed under the oath, he just spoke the truth. He didn't profane God. I adjured you by God. You're under the idea. Yeah, he's my father. And he didn't profane him at all. Well, that's God. That's Son of God, Jesus. But what about Paul? Paul called God upon as his witness for his veracity, to encourage the hearts of others, just like God did it to secure the hope and the faith and cause people to believe. He would do this from time to time. Please turn with me to Romans, the first chapter in verse 9. When the Apostle Paul hasn't been to Rome, hasn't seen them, but he wants them to know something that only God would know and himself. And he puts it this way, for God is my witness, whom I serve in my spirit in the gospel of his Son, how unceasingly I make mention of you always in my prayers. That's kind of a private thing. I take people at their word. I'm praying for you. Sometimes that can be easy when you have situations. I'm going to be praying. We may forget. But no, when someone says, I'm praying for you, that means a lot to me. That's what you're doing. How would I know that? Paul says, God's my witness. I'm doing that for you. I've been praying for you. Always. I tell you what I've been praying about. I want to come see you. My motives is I want to come. Paul could be writing to people, you haven't come yet. But so be it that the will of God would allow me to come and be with you. Those are things you would say in your private prayers. Why did you make an oath, Paul? Jesus says, swear not at all. Why do you do that? It's because oath-taking is not what's being sinful. Oaths here by God and by Paul was encouragement because it's the truth. It's the truth. Turn over to 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. Paul is being accused of fickleness, of being fickle, because see, he said he was coming to Corinth and then he didn't. And they were bringing in the point about yea, yea, nay, nay, but they were saying he's yea and he's nay. He's yea and he's nay. He's fickle. And Paul sets forth himself under an oath. Verse 23, but I call God for a witness upon my soul. To spare you, I forbear to come to Corinth. I'm not here to have lordship over your faith, but I'm here to help you in the joy in your faith. So I waited for you, maybe to change, so I don't have to come with harshness. But I'm not fickle. But that's what he's been accused of. In verse 17, when I therefore with this mind, did I show fickleness or the things that I purpose? Do I purpose according to the flesh? That with me there should be the yea, yea, and nay, nay. But as God is faithful, our word toward you is not yea, and it's not nay. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yea and nay, but in him is yea. See, what was happening, if we destroy his character and being fickle, they won't listen to his gospel. That's what Paul was worried about. He said, I'm not fickle. I'm not yea and nay, I'm yea. And my gospel is yea. It's affirmative, it's the truth. And he says, as God is my witness, I forbear to come to you. That's why I changed my mind. I wanted to see if my next letter would have effects upon, would have the effect upon you as it should. Why is he doing it? He's trying to let them know that indeed I've appealed to God as a witness that of my motives. I'm not a fickle person. And don't take that on the gospel, because it's all yea. It's all yea. Philippians 1 and verse 8. Apostle Paul is writing to the Philippians and trying to encourage them and for them to have joy always. And in verse 8 it says, "For God is my witness how I long after you in all the tender mercies of Christ Jesus." That gets down to your inward self. That's not outside. I want you to know that I have the tender mercy just like Christ has for you. That's how I feel about you. My prayers, nobody may not know about that to the Romans. I'm praying for you always. And God knows my motives. He knows my heart. He brings God as a witness upon his soul. He knows the danger of that. But he did that. Jesus says, "Swear not at all." We know why God did it. Jesus is confirming truth. Paul's confirming truth for the benefit of us, for the benefit of hearers. Can oaths fit into that in our life today? But Jesus says, "Swear not at all." What is Jesus forbidding? He's forbidding the lying that disdains the purpose for swearing an oath. We know what the purpose is: to further confirm the truth to one that's higher than just my word. And the reason for that, if we did not have lying, we would not have to have oaths. That's the whole problem with the Pharisees and Sadducees. They had a way to swear and not be a debtor. But he said, that's foolish. How can you swear by the gold of the temple? And here's a temple that sanctified it. And you don't have to fulfill your oaths with the temple? Here's the altar. You can swear by the altar and not be responsible for your oaths. But the gift of, said the altar sanctifies the gift. It's the altar of God. He's receiving that. He sanctifies that. That's foolish. But it's also allowing lying to creep in with our promises. And that's not the way we are to be in the kingdom of God. He's not condemning making an oath. He's condemning making oaths and not fulfilling them. And that's why it says you don't need all of these objects out here that tries to escape God. But notice how in all of the ones of Jesus responding to an oath and Paul saying an oath, it was before God. Before God. God is witness. He's over everything. Even the hairs of my head. So we begin to look at it that way. We realize this harmonizes with Scripture. But it teaches us the truth that the problem is lying. And what people do sometimes, I'll double down. I'll double down. And I'll swear by the grave of my mother, I'm telling you the truth. I swear by the stack of Bibles, I'm telling you the truth. I told you. Now I'm going to go down on it. Bear down. And I'm not telling the truth. That was what the problems were. So that's what he's forbidding, because he then explains what the kind of swearing he didn't approve of. But we know by example that indeed it happens in the New Testament. If there were no lying, there would be no need for oath taking. I just think that's an observation. But there's no such thing as lying. The problem is, it's there. And so we deal with oaths in a proper way. So we're saying, let your word be your bond. Third act of Shakespeare's play, Merchant of Venice is therefore, that's where the English-speaking people talk about the word is my bond. The word is my bond. I'm bound by my word. I'm going to follow through that. It's yea, yea. It's nay, nay. And that's, I think that corresponds to what Jesus is saying. My word's to be my bond. I'm bound by my word. It's true or it's a lie, and it's not a lie. No, that's the truth. Yea, yea, nay, nay. Turn with me to Psalm 15, verse 4, because now we're looking at the character of people that indeed take their oath seriously, that are going to have the word, it's going to be true, but sometimes appealing to an oath is may be there too. That's what Paul did. And in Psalm 15 and verse 4, we're seeing the character of those who are able to enter in and sojourn in the tabernacle of God. Here they're out in the wilderness, and they'll build the temple, the tabernacle there, and God's presence would be there in the inner court and so forth. He said, who shall sojourn in thy tabernacle? He asked this about God. Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Verse 5 at the end says, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. You're going to abide in my holy presence. And he speaks of various things. And one of the things he says in verse 4, he that sweareth to his own hurt without change. You swear to your own hurt without change. Oh, there was foolish oaths by Jephthah. The first thing that comes out of my house, if you give me victory, I will offer that unto God. And it was his daughter. That hurts. But you're going to fulfill your vows. And this is the character of those who are in God's presence, in his tent, in his holy presence. And that we don't ever have to be moved from it. This is the character that's set forth. Even if it hurts. I swear by God that it's happening. If not, I will do this. Put that in our oaths. Make your promises. This is the type of person. I will make that oath even when it means I hurt if I fail to fulfill it. And the point is, I'm telling you the truth. Surely I don't want to hurt myself. So we've got to be careful with what we give as our oaths. But it's letting your word be your bond. That's the point that Jesus is making. The end result is let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Next, he tells us we're keeping from falling under judgment, condemnation, because we're going to be condemned. We swear by the temple. That was just a loophole. He's closing those off. And what Jesus says, it's the whatever is more than these is of the evil one. Your yea be yea, your nay be yea, nay. If more than this, that is of the evil one. Now notice how James brings these same points. Here's the Lord's half-brother, and by inspiration, he's speaking, and to the people, he tells his readers that have been dispersed in various parts of the world, this is what you ought to do. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, just like Jesus said, swear not at all. Swear not, neither by the heaven, nor by the earth, nor by any other oath, the grave of my grandmother, the grave of my mother, whatever oath you want to throw out there. But let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, that you fall not under judgment, condemnation, because you lied and you made it an oath that you were thought would not have to be followed through. I swear by the temple, I do this. I swear by the altar, I do this. I swear by heaven, I do this. But you're not a debtor. Because you didn't say God. That was the problem. The solution is, let your word be your bond. And whatsoever is more than that is of the evil one. And whatsoever is more than that brings you under judgment, condemnation before God. Both of them are very consistent to one another. And if we put this into practice, let my word be my bond, I want you to notice how you're growing integrity in your life. And I'll close with this point. Integrity, that just means honesty. It begins with the heart. In our Psalms 15, verse 4, verse 2 says, we speaketh truth in the heart. We start our integrity journey where people respect us, where people honor us because of our character. Every one of us can have this character. It doesn't take any money. It takes determination, but I want you to see the pattern. If we see here, I'm going to start with my heart, And my heart is going to speak truth. That means I'm going to speak truth in my heart. God, this is really what I am today. I'm not trying to cover it with you. This is me. And I'm not happy with me. I want to do better. But I'm not going to shade it and say, well, God, that's the way you made me. I messed up this week. That's the way you made me after all. No. I'm going to speak truth to my heart. And what happens then? My yea is yea. My words then, I start with a heart that I'm just going to be truthful. And what words come out of my mouth, it comes out of my heart. I'm just going to be truthful. Then I'm going to say my yea will be, my word will be my bond. My yea, yea, my nay, nay. Not fickle. Yea and nay. Yea, yea, nay, nay. And all of a sudden, my word is my bond. And you begin to have a reputation for that. And there'll be an occasion where maybe you go before the courts. You swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God. I do. I will. And you can say, I affirm, and I don't have to. I'm not swearing, but you say, I affirm it. Because you don't want to say swear. Think again. That you can say, I swear. Why? Because it already starts here in the heart where I am honest with myself and I speak truth myself every day I live. My words then come out of the abundance of my heart. They're only the truth. And I'm fine with that. But courts, you want me to swear by a higher being to confirm my word? I'll do it in a minute. I'll do it in a minute. God did. I'm not God. God did to confirm, to realize that what I am promised is indeed the truth. And you won't ever have to go under judgment because you spoke the truth. And what that does, it allows you to double up instead of double down. Double up. I'm just telling you the truth. You want more than that from me? And you put me under an oath? I just told you the truth. I realize I'm under oath to God. That's just taking it a step upward, not double down. I'll stack of Bibles now. I'm telling you the truth. I'm just doubling down on my own, in my own little rules. But you got me in the presence of God. He didn't condemn oath taking. He condemned swearing falsely. And when we put together what Jesus is saying, we end up by realizing, let your yea be nay, and your yea be yea, and your nay be nay. And indeed, when you do that, you will not fall into the hands of the evil one that has all this trickery where you don't have to tell. I'm telling the truth from my heart until the courtroom and in between. And I don't have to use that every day. But every day someone will be looking at you. And what a wonderful thing it is, that word they promise they fulfill. And all of a sudden you have integrity. It costs time and effort, didn't cost you a dime, but it's worth so much as you deal with others and try to be a good example to others. Swear not at all this type of oaths, but realize that when you do have to make an oath, all you're doing is doubling up to higher being, because men make oaths of those who are higher than they are, and you can't get any higher than God. And until then, my word's going to be my bond. And I hope that will help us in our life as a Christian. Jesus is speaking to us as citizens of his kingdom. And if you're not in his kingdom yet, you're not under his rule, we encourage you to become a citizen. When we are baptized into Christ, we're raised to walk a newness of life. He adds us to his church. Nobody votes on you. He adds you to the church. And you spend your days of serving God in all holiness. And what Jesus is doing, this is the character of my people in this Sermon on the Mount. And I hope you'll take that to heart. If you haven't obeyed the gospel yet, we encourage you to do so. Let us help you as we stand and sing. Please come.